Hey, and welcome to FutureThinkers.org, a podcast about the evolution of technology, society, and consciousness. I'm Mike Gilliland.
And I'm Yuvia Ivanova. If you're new to the show and you want to get a list of our favorite books, popular episodes, and to join our community, go to FutureThinkers.org/start.
So today we're going to be talking about finite and infinite games. This is a very, very dense book that Yuvia and I both read a number of times now about the difference between finite and infinite games. So why don't we dive into that and you can give us a bit of an intro.
Sure. So this book was recommended by Daniel Schmachtenberger, I think, and it's by James P. Kars. And it's a book about game theory, but it's actually a lot broader than that. It's kind of a framework for how to operate in life in general. And it applies to every part of life from, you know, work, organizations, relationships, career, how countries interact with each other, how we relate to nature. It's just, it goes very, very deep. And actually, it's interesting because James P. Kars studied religion for quite a long time. So the book has this kind of undertone, the spiritual undertone, which is not obvious. But I definitely noticed it and I thought it was really interesting. So to summarize, it's the idea is this. So finite games have defined rules, defined timelines, defined players. Everything is kind of laid out in neat little boxes. And then, you know, when the rules are fulfilled, there's an agreed upon end to a game and then everybody goes home and there's a winner and a loser. Infinite games are very different. They don't have a defined end. They just go infinitely. And there's no kind of predetermined outcome or a specific event or a specific thing that people are aiming for when they're playing them. The only goal is just to keep playing for as long as possible. And maybe kind of an expanded goal is to make sure that other people are able to play with you and everybody is able to enjoy themselves and kind of grow and evolve together. So it's a very different, two very different approaches to life. And he talks about how you can have many finite games within an infinite game, but you can't encompass an infinite game within a finite game. And I mean, even if you just think about it mathematically, it makes sense.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things that happens is when players that are playing different types of games play against each other and don't know that they're doing that. So when you have finite players matched up against infinite players, they tend to be in it to win the game. They're a lot more selfish. They're not about perpetuating the game, and they often don't see that that would be even worth doing. So an example of that would be, you know, you're playing Monopoly with your kids and you keep beating the hell out of them every single time. Eventually, they're not going to be, you know, as interested in playing with you. So the infinite game collapses at that point because you were too focused on winning the finite game.
By beating the hell out of them, you didn't mean physically beating them, but just beating them at the game.
Either or.
Either or.
Both. Less likely to play the game.
So in that example, if you were playing an infinite game, how would you play it?
Well, you would let them win every once in a while, right? So, you know, just make it a little bit easier so they'll keep coming back to the table. I found this plenty of times when I played video games because I used to, you know, didn't have much of a social life when I was a kid, and I would just play, you know, first-person shooters all the time, and I got really good at it. And, you know, you'd like spawn kill people or do really shitty styles of playing and make people super frustrated. My brother used to like swing his controller at me and throw it at my head because he would get so pissed off. So after a while, I got, you know, wise to that and learned that I got to maybe not play so hard against people and, yeah, let them win every once in a while. And then the game got a lot more fun after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But then when you match up finite players against finite players, it's fine. The game is stable. Like, you know, in soccer, for example, everybody knows what the rules are. And if somebody breaks the rules, these are the consequences. And this is the timeline that the game lasts for. And like, this is what constitutes winning. And it's very clear. And everybody agrees to it. Everybody enjoys it and, you know, mm-hmm. participates. And then likewise, if you have infinite players playing against each other, they also understand that the goal is to keep playing. And so it's not about, you know, winning or losing. It's about just perpetuating the game.
Yeah. So a good example of a finite player versus an infinite player would have been the Vietnam War. So the U.S. was playing a finite game, not realizing that, you know, they hadn't defined what winning the war would look like. And for the Vietnamese people, it was about simply continuing to exist.
Survival.
And so it wasn't a matter of like getting to a finished point. It was like, let's just keep fighting until these guys leave. And that's why, you know, in the end, U.S. ended up losing.
Yeah, there's another aspect to finite games that James P. Kars talks about, and it's that they are, I think he calls it theatrical. So there's kind of a performance aspect to it, where it requires an audience a lot of the time, and people want recognition and titles and status and all that stuff. And if other people are not participating in this kind of theatrical aspect of it, and if they're not recognizing that these titles have been achieved or these goals have been met, then the game kind of falls apart. And that's also an argument that he makes about the Vietnam War, is that Americans just lost an audience. And it kind of just fell apart because nobody was interested in it anymore, and they weren't going anywhere. They weren't winning in a way that was kind of socially verifiable. And so they just left.
Mm-hmm. Another thing this book talks about that I thought was interesting and related to another book I've been reading, which is Sapiens, is the collective fictions that we all believe in. So whether that be titles, property, you know, laws, any number of things, corporations, any number of things that make up our social, political, economic fictions that we all collectively believe in and therefore behave differently as a result. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that from the book?
Yeah, he talks about how when people play finite games, there's always a part of them that knows that it's an act, that it's not them who is playing, that it's a character who's playing a finite game. Because, you know, over the course of somebody's life, your, like, who you are is always changing. It's always in flux. But then in order to play a finite game, you kind of have to adopt this very specific identity and very specific character. So it's not you who plays the game, it's the character that plays the finite game.
And that's where it comes into sort of the almost religious connotations there, where it's like...
Yes, what is the self? And a lot of kind of Buddhist and Hindu undertones in the book where, you know, the self that people think they are, their ego, their identity is not the real self. And that the, you know, real self, well, actually doesn't exist because it's just this like fluid, never-ending process, basically, of evolution.
Mm-hmm. So what are some practical applications of finite and infinite games in people's real lives?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because you can apply it to literally everything. So for example, in people's career, an example of a finite game would be trying to achieve titles, promotions, you know, get a specific number that you're getting paid per year, you know, get a bonus or whatever. But then the infinite game is just your whole career, the whole thing. And the idea is just to keep growing, to keep getting better at what you do.
The personal growth and evolution, like, yeah, how you to keep develop providing, new skills. And,
yeah. Yeah, providing more value, like in improving your skills. There's a really interesting aspect. He talks about how when you are a finite player, you're always playing against other people and you're competing with other people. But when you're an infinite player, you're only competing with yourself because there's no end to the game. So it's not about winning or losing. It's about continuing to play. And what do you do when you're just continuing to play? You're always evolving. You're always getting better. You're always improving, adapting, etc.
And the other thing about finite games is that infinite games is that those types of players end up dropping out over time through death. So it's this constant like influx of new players and leaving of other players, and some people can play, some people can't, but like everyone, if they're alive, is playing some sort of infinite game. If they're playing finite games, then they have to basically agree to be playing. They have to agree to the terms, the rules and everything, and if they don't agree, then they break the game. So they're technically not really playing the finite game. So I think another interesting example of finite and infinite games is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, you know, we could look at hookup dating culture, where the goal of the finite game is to sleep with as many people as possible and to increase the quality and the quantity of the people you're having sex with. The infinite version would be the seeking a long-term relationship where you and the other person can actually grow and build with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's no wonder why people are so miserable in the dating culture today, because they can't grow if they are just going through one hookup after another. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a talk that we watched by Tony Robbins, and he talks about the six basic needs that drive people, and four of them are kind of just the basic human needs, and the two are growth needs. I don't know if we mentioned this before. I think we did. One of the two growth needs is, well, growth, and the other one is giving. And so if you are in a hookup culture, you can't actually fulfill either of those needs within the context of that relationship. You can't really grow, and you can't really give, because it's transactional. You're taking.
Mm-hmm. Any other examples we should cover before we wrap this one up?
Sure. Well, I think how organizations approach themselves is a great example of finite and infinite games.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So when you have organizations or companies, you generally, if people are playing the finite game, they're looking at the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the companies that are playing the infinite game are looking out at the horizon of what is possible in a vision of the world, or what they want to be in, you know, the extended future. And that future might actually never arrive for them. They might die before that is ever reached. Like people fighting for the rights of women to vote. A lot of people that initiated the original legislation that would allow that to happen died before it ever happened. But their goal was eventually succeeded, and they had to dedicate themselves to the infinite game in order to make that happen, because the achievement of that goal would take so long that they would never see it in their lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. But even on a kind of smaller scale, companies that are more interested in innovation and growth and improvement, constant improvement of what they're doing to provide more value, to, you know, make their customers more happy, tend to outlast the ones that are just focused on quarterly profits.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, the people who work for those companies, I think, generally feel more of a sense of purpose and you know, pride in what they do.
Yeah.
So
I think I kind of glazed over that point a little too quickly about the competition looking at looking at each other if they're playing the finite game. So they can never actually catch up to where the infinite player is, because the infinite player is looking way ahead, and the finite player is just responding to what is going on in the immediate. So they're constantly like running all over the place and changing direction and trying new things and then failing and trying other things and failing, because they're just adapting to the infinite player, where the infinite player has just got this North Star they're always heading to.
Right. It's even if you think about it in terms of energy expenditure, when you're constantly changing direction, it's very inefficient.
Exactly.
But when you've got a North Star and you're just chugging along and going towards that goal, slow as steady as it may be, it's a lot more efficient. Yeah.
Any other points we want to get through? I think that's probably it.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe we can stress the point of why it's even worth it to play an infinite game.
Right.
So one of the arguments that was brought up in the book is that infinite players just tend to outlast finite players.
Right.
Because finite players, if they can't win, they tend to run out of resources or the will to play, and they drop out. Whereas infinite players, they're not trying to win, they're just trying to keep playing. So they keep going and going and going and going. And they might still drop out if they run out of resources to play or they die.
Yeah.
But the game continues.
I really like the comparison that that we were talking about when we were reading that book together, of it being like the players becoming aware that all of reality is a stage. It was the same thing that's described in Buddhism and Hinduism and in lots of esoteric books, is that this is just a game that you become aware of, and that when you're aware of the finite games, you start entering into more of the infinite game.
Right.
Yeah. And when people are confused about which type of game they're playing, that's when they cause themselves the most pain.
Yeah. And kind of very basic everyday example of that would be that a lot of millennials have this idea that they want to change the world, but then when they go about and do something, a lot of the time they're playing a finite game, whereas changing the world is, you know, you could see it as an infinite game. Mm-hmm. So for example, the way that Facebook is run, they talk about changing the world, but actually they're after quarterly profits, and they're, you know, it's been leaked now that they're trying to make their app as addictive as possible. So they're purposely screwing up people's mental state in order to get more profit. And that is definitely not an infinite game.
Mm-hmm. So maybe if we can think of more like on the ground, immediate person to person kind of examples of how using this type of infinite game mentality might be helpful.
So with relationships, for example, there's when you play an infinite game and when you're growing together with someone and you're changing together with someone, there's compounding interest. So things build on top of themselves. Whereas with a finite game, you kind of have to start over and you have to, you know, create things from scratch every time. But then with a relationship that's just ongoing indefinitely, you kind of have these like structures, and then you build on top of those things, and then on top of those things, and it.
Right. So it's kind of the same thing as the company that spends all of its resources and time kind of going back and forth and changing things and never really building a foundation like the infinite player does.
Exactly. Yeah. Like for a company, for example, they might have processes that they're tweaking constantly over years and years and perfecting them, like a grandma's recipe that's being passed down through generations, and it's just getting tweaked and becoming better and better mm-hmm. over time. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's wrap it up. So thanks guys for watching this episode, and I don't know, we don't really have a way to sign off yet, do we?
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Qualia, a nootropic supplement that helps support mental performance and mood. To get 10% off, use the code FUTURE at checkout. And to learn more about neurohacking, visit futurethinkers.org/neuro.
Thanks for tuning in to Future Thinkers. For all the books, resources, and mentions from this episode, go to futurethinkers.org/66. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell icon to get notified of new videos. You can also follow us on social media to stay connected. If you'd like to get a t-shirt like the new Make America Think Again, go to futurethinkers.org/store. If you like what we do and you want to help us make more podcasts and videos, consider donating or becoming a patron at futurethinkers.org/support. Also visit our sponsor Qualia and use the coupon code FUTURE to get 10% off your purchase.